morning, and welcome to EMP. Today's reading is from Genesis chapter 18, verses 16 through 33. Starting with verse 16, then the men set out from there, and they looked down toward Sodom. And Abraham went with them to set them on their way. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great nation and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know. So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do that, do what is just? And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Abraham answered and said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. I who am but dust and ashes, suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. Again he spoke to him and said, suppose 40 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there. He answered, I will not do it if I find 30 there. He said, behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose there are 20 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again, but this once. Suppose 10 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And the Lord went his way, and he had finished speaking to Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. And so we get to this moment in Abraham's life as they are transitioning, and they've had the conversation about the promise of having a child. But now we get into this interesting part here in this verse, with verse 16, in terms of what God is about to do in the life of Sodom and Gomorrah. And it's really, I think, a chapter of reflection, especially the next chapter in terms of God's judgment. But I think it's one that I think it's necessary for us to reflect on and to see what that means for our lives. And so when we're looking at this chapter here, and we're looking at these verses here, is Abraham is having this conversation and they say, shall we hide from Abraham what we're about to do? And in the context of having that conversation is they say, we have chosen him and that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteous and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised. And so we get a dealing of God's judgment in terms of keeping the way of the Lord versus Sodom and Gomorrah's situation, where they're described as being a city, of being a two places of being in grave sin. And so we see here, then Abraham gets into this conversation with God where he begins to plead with God, intercede with God, you could say in some way, of of he uses God's character in terms of really that wouldn't will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? That's his first question. Would you really do that? And then he goes, That's not far be it from you, God, that you would do such a thing to sweep the righteous with the wicked. And then he starts giving that number of 50, 40, 30, 20 until he gets to the number 10. But throughout that process, he's having this conversation with God, and he has an understanding of who God is. And in that way, and I think we've all gone through those questions in our lives, is like, God, would you really do that? Far be it from you. And even gets to the point where Abraham goes, would the judge of the earth really do something that is unjust? Are you not a just God in terms of this? And so Abraham is having this conversation with God, and he keeps asking God to almost just lower the number, lower the number, lower the number. And so we don't know how big this city is. But we just get this idea of just God's dealing with judgment, and we get an insight into what it means to keep the way of the Lord versus being a city that has fallen into grave sin. And so we have this part of Abraham's pleading is because Lot lives in Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot is Abraham's nephew. And I feel almost in some way Lot has just been kind of that person in Abraham's life that just kind of like, there's always something happening in Lot's life, right? So Abraham, when Abraham left from home, Lot, his nephew, came with him. And then at some point they grew so big that they there started to be a conflict between Lot and their herdsmen, that they decided to just go their separate ways. So they have a bit of a conflict, and they both go their separate ways. The next time we see Lot in Abraham's story is that Lot is caught in the middle of a conflict, and that Lot gets caught in the middle of that conflict, and Abraham goes and pursues Lot and saves him once again. And yet we find ourselves once again in Abraham's story, also with the mention of Lot, that Lot is in the midst of this city, and he finds himself once again in this situation. So Lot just seems to be that individual that is always, there's always something happening in that person's life. And so we have Abraham here interceding for Sodom and Gomorrah, almost in some way, perhaps for his nephew Lot there, that he knows lives there. And so we get to this point where God just finally says, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. And they kind of then go their separate ways. And as I was thinking for this passage here, as Abraham intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah, is one of the things that we look at here is the cost of sin, really. The cost of sin against God and the cost of sin against ourselves. And the way I look at it in terms of it is that really when we look at the old, people always have a hard problem dealing with the Old Testament and the New Testament because of God's judgment. They wonder, oh, wow, how could God be? It almost seems like God is so different between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I think partially the reason we view God as being more harsh in that way, and I think part of it is because we take sin so lightly in our lives. You know, we take it so lightly as there is no cost of sin in our lives. And here we see how God is dealing with sin in terms of Sodom and Gomorrah. He says their sin is so grave that there's not even really, at the end we see that there's really not one single righteous person within the city. You know, even though we see in the next chapter, in chapter 19, that Lot gets saved, it has nothing to do because Lot is a righteous person. You know, it's more has to do with Abraham interceding on Lot's behalf, and you'll see later on in chapter 19, it says, and God remembered Abraham, and so he saves Lot in that regard. So there's no one, even Lot within that situation, is not even a righteous person in terms of that, I would say. And so we see the cost of sin, that when it is against God, the judgment that God brings throughout the Old Testament is really against sin. In terms of that, but one of the things that we often overlooked is the cost of sin against ourselves. And I want to focus on that a little bit in terms of going back to that passage in that verse where they're having a conversation and they're saying, we have chosen Abraham that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteous and justice so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. Look at the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah due to the consequences of sin in the life of the city. Versus the path that God is calling to Abraham is the way of the Lord to command his household, to command his children to walk in righteousness and justice. And I want to propose this, that sin in our lives, the cost of sin in our lives goes in terms of working against ourselves, is that it often destroys what God has for us in our lives. Perhaps in some way they're letting Abraham have an insight of, hey, you want to know what it, we're calling you to walk in the way of the Lord versus this is what it looks like to walk in sin that is so grave that God's judgment comes upon it. And I think sometimes when we have God's promises in our lives, God's working in our lives, that we kind of take sin lightly in our lives and we don't recognize how sin could actually destroy our lives and all that God has for us as well. Now, I know it's not a very easy topic. It's kind of more of a heavy topic for a morning to talk about sin, but that's the reality of this for me when I'm looking at this verse and I'm asking myself, do I take sin lightly in my life? And the cost of that in terms of me sinning against God, in terms of my relationship with God being causing the disconnection, causing a separation between me and God, but also what all that God has for me, I put it in jeopardy. I put everything before God in terms when it comes to sin. I put it all in jeopardy that I may miss out on all that God has for me when I don't deal with sin in my life. And that could be whatever it might be in our lives. It could be just jealousy. It could just be hatred towards one another. It could be greed. Whatever sin may be just lingering in our lives, that when we let it have place in our lives, that it becomes a destruction in our lives when we just take it lightly. And so I think that's what we're seeing in Abraham's life here, is that there's a promise that God has for Abraham. But the calling of Abraham, that promise is, walk in the way of the Lord. Walk righteously and walk in justice in comparison to Sodom and Gomorrah, who has walked in the complete opposite and whose city is just in complete sin, that there is not one single person that can be found that is righteous within. And so the question this morning is just us to reflect, do I take sin lightly in my life? And do I recognize the cost of sin, not just in terms of me being separated and distant from God, but do I recognize how sin in my life might actually be compromising all that God has for me, that I may miss out on all of it because I take sin lightly in my life? You know, there's this book that is quite popular among leaders. It's called The Making of a Leader. And one of the things it talks about is almost kind of gives this idea that it's hard to move forward when you leave things undealt with in your life. And sometimes you may be able to move forward, but those undealt things keep popping up as you continue to move forward. And that sometimes compromises our lives. And I remember once talking to someone in terms of sin and in terms of dealing with sin. And sometimes we think just because maybe no one knows about it, then we can just get away with it, you know, because no one will really know that I'm a jealous person. No one will really know within me that I have hatred or whatever it may be towards someone. But those things really hold us out towards really living fully the life that God has for us. I'm not just talking about a major calling or anything. I'm just talking about just simply living. If one of God's greatest commands is to love God and to love one another, I cannot fulfill the commandment of loving one another if I have jealousy, if I have hatred or anger towards anyone in my life. And that for me, then that's a hindrance for me to from living fully what God has called me in my life. So as we go into a time of worship this morning, and I know it's a heavy topic to really think about, do I take sin lightly in my life, not recognizing what it does in my relationship with God, but also what it does in terms of me living the life that God has called me to live and to receive all the promises that he has for me, and just compromise all of that because we give sin a place in our lives. And so as we close our eyes and go into a moment of just worship and reflection, is this thing simply thinking, have I taken sin lightly in my life? You know, there's this funny meme that says something about knowing God's character. It says, oh, you know, I asked God for a bike, so I stole it because I know he forgives, and that's the way God works. You know, and I think sometimes that's the way we are when we look at the forgiveness of God, that his grace is just so abundant, everlasting, and so forth, that we just think, you know what? You know, God's grace is sufficient for this, you know? But when we look at the Old Testament, we're reminded of just how God really views sin in the lives of people, so much so that he sent his one and only son to die on the cross to take on that judgment, you know? And so in some way, it's also a reminder that takes us back to the gospel, and it reminds us that Jesus took the judgment that we deserve because of our sin. And so this morning, Father, we just pray that you would bring a conviction that only you can bring, where you say that you sent the Holy Spirit to bring conviction against sin. So let there be a conviction against sin in our lives, not just the big sins that we think about, you know, about people falling majorly, but just the things that we might just ignore simply, like jealousy or hatred or anger towards people, or even racism in our lives, whatever it may be, hidden in our hearts or that we're so aware of, but it's hidden to others. Help us to deal with those things in our lives, that we would not take sin lightly in our lives. And so, Father, we thank you this morning for your Holy Spirit that leads us and guides us and brings conviction in our lives, and for your mercy that is new every morning as well, to deal with sins that maybe we've just left them undealt with. So Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Throne, I stand in. try to save my soul. My lips shall still repeat. And Jesus paid it all. Oh, to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We thank you for sending your son Jesus to take on the judgment and wrath that we deserve for our sin, that we may have life. And so, Father, I just pray this morning for just more of your Holy Spirit in our life to lead us and guide us where we've taken sin lightly. Compromising all that you have for us because of it, that there's so much more that you have for us. And so, Father, I pray for more of you in our lives, as your word says that you've made us into to be slaves to righteousness, not slaves to sin. And so, Father, we thank you. We just lift up anything that we might be struggling with, that might be hidden from others, but it is not hidden from ourselves or from you. And we know that is holding us back from a deeper walk with others and a deeper walk with you. And I thank you that we don't walk alone in trying to defeat sin by our own power, by our own will, our own strength, but that you have given us your Holy Spirit. You have given us the power over sin to be slave to righteousness, to walk in the light and not darkness. So we just invite more of your light into those areas of our lives where we just have kept hidden. And so, Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go into our community prayer and pray for those that are battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing in their lives and for their families as well, that are supporting them for peace as they walk with them as well.
Thank you.
let's pray next for those that are sick and also in for salvation in their lives as well. Let's pray for those that are battling infirmities. Let's pray for those that are seeking new job opportunities. Let's pray for all the various needs in our city. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for our staff. Let's pray for education, SP Kids, SP Youth, and SPU. Pray for worship and sound and AV team. Let's pray for our house churches that are, I don't know if they're gathering still, but let's pray for them. Let's pray for the pregnancies. Churches are gathering, so by the way, I think this is the last week. Alright, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your grace that is sufficient for us to find forgiveness in you. And we thank you for your grace that is power to also not sin in our lives. So Father, we thank you that you lead us and guide us as we go throughout our day, that your presence would be with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.